I'm just going to jump across your conversations. I think I need to change. I think I say that quite often when I'm like trying to interject. I need to change my wording. I'm interrupting you, is what I'm saying. Good morning to you all. Good to see you. Merry Christmas. Am I allowed to say that? I think I am. There's a Christmas tree over there. So, yeah, Merry Christmas to you all. It's good to have you with us this morning. If it's your first time to Mosaic Church, you are so welcome. It's so good to have you with us. We have an information point at the back. So if it is your first time, come and say hello. Come and make yourself known to us. And we can, if you want to know more about what we do here, head over there. So we are currently in a preaching series. It's a very short one. It's a Christmas one. We just called it Christmas at Mosaic. But we are looking at the birth announcements of Jesus. And so next week we've got our carol service where we're going to be talking particularly about this announcement, this gift that is coming. But we looked at Mary last week and we saw how this is impossible news. This is just impossible. How has this happened? And today we are not looking at Mary, we're going to be looking at Joseph. So we were in Luke last week. We're going to be in Matthew's Gospel this morning. So why don't you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 1. That's where we're going to be, and we're going to be in verse 18. Whilst you're finding that, just to comment on yesterday, we were in the street singing carols and giving out sweets. It was just such a good time to meet with people, chat with people. It's like, oh, I know that church, my neighbour goes there, and just being able to have some really good conversations and inviting people to next week. It is going to be an epic event next week. I assure you, you will not be disappointed. And so it will be a mix of traditional, it'll be a mix of contemporary stuff. There'll be a fair bit of performances as well, just for people to enjoy and feel Christmassy and just to bless our community. But we are going to be preaching the gospel, which is fundamental. And so I'm really excited to see what God's going to do. And so just some people have put this together. And so they've worked really hard on this. And I just want to honour them before we go any further, just how hard they've worked on this with the sorting the music, setting the carols up, all those things. And they've worked really hard. So just appreciate those people. So we're going to be in Matthew. Let's turn there. Let's read God's word together and see what he has got to say to us. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son and gave him the name Jesus. What an announcement. You're going to have a son. And I want to start off by sharing with you the biggest frustration I have as a parent. Because why not? That's the place you go when you're talking about someone having a son. I'll see if hopefully some parents might be able to link to this and relate to this. But let me paint you the picture. The irony is that I wrote this a few days before, and then this happened last night. So just to frame it. So picture this, it's Friday night, Saturday night, haven't got school tomorrow, and we're doing our family film night, or we're watching Gladiators or something. We do that often on a Saturday night, and it's finished. The program or the film has finished, and Kim and I, we do the dreaded moment we turn off the telly and we say, it's time for bed. It's time for bed. And what ensues, I couldn't find the words to describe what this is, other than possibly close to World War III, right? This is what happens. It's like this attempt by one of them to turn the telly back on while another one is attempting to start a new game of chase at whatever time it is. And then what happens is one says, I need a drink, and the other goes, I want a drink as well. And then the other one is trying to do their teeth while the other child is pushing past them to try and do their teeth. And the other one's just not even listening. Like, they don't even care. They're going somewhere else. And then one of them says, oh, she hit me. And the other one says, oh, she hit me first. And they were mean first. It's painful, right? Hopefully you've pictured how painful this is for me. But the great frustration, what is the great frustration in all that? It is obedience. They're just not listening to me. They're not doing what I've asked them to do. It would have been much quicker if they just went upstairs, did their teeth, and got into bed, and then I could talk to them, and we could have a really lovely time. But instead, it turns into World War III. And it's obedience that is the great frustration in my life. And this isn't a children's problem, all right? Just to clarify something here, we are the same, all right? We are the same. We struggle with obedience. We fail to obey the speed limit, many of us. You know, a survey recently found that 44% of drivers admit to speeding. I think that's really low. I think they're lying. All right? Did you know that we don't even listen to medical professionals? 70% of people do not listen to their physio. 70%. That's crazy. And 20% of people, when it comes to listening to their bosses and obeying their bosses, 20% of people... Only 20% of people were found to have listened to their boss's instruction. 20%. The reality is, just like children disobeying their parents, right? We do not like the idea of obedience. We don't. I don't like the speed limit. It's too slow here. 20 is too slow. 20 is not plenty. All right, that's a lie. All right, obeying my boss means I've actually got to do the job. I've actually got to work hard. It's a bit annoying. And following medical advice, making sure that I'm doing my physio properly, it's just a bit of an inconvenience. I don't really have time to do all the stretches and all whatever I need to do with the physio stuff. Right? If we disobey doctors and we disobey the law of the road, it shouldn't surprise us that obeying God's plan in our life is really difficult too. It shouldn't be surprising. And this morning, the passage that we've got and the narrative that we see in Matthew, it gives us a picture of Joseph. And what it should do for us is it should challenge us. I want it to wake us up a little bit this morning to the call God has on our lives when it comes to following him. Joseph, he is an example of the cost of obedience. Obedience is costly, and I pray that as we dig into this birth announcement with Joseph, when we examine the cost of obedience, that we begin moving towards a desire within us to obey God more, to love him more, to serve him more, moving merely from talking the talk about Christianity to more walking the walk of Christianity. And if you're not yet a Christian, that you will start to see where this obedience comes from and go, yeah, actually, that is worth my life. That's worth giving my life towards. And when we hear words like obedience and obey, we kind of flinch at that. We don't really like that phraseology. Obedience, it can sound really heavy-handed, especially if you're somebody who has experienced authority and hurt from authority. And I just want to gently encourage you in this moment. Please hear this carefully. This is not what God is like. And obedience that he calls Christians into is not a heavy-handed obedience. That's not what he's calling it to. It's not the heart behind Joseph's obedience either. His and our obedience, it flows from trust, not out of this fear of a tyrant or anything like that. And so let me pray. before we dive properly into this and just ask God to meet with us. God, I just pray that wherever we've come from this morning, wherever we are positioned in our understanding of obedience and following Jesus, I just pray that you do something fresh and new in our hearts today. Help us to realize the beauty behind obedience. Help us to see in Joseph not a hero, but someone who just loves you. Help us to be more like that. Help us to love you more. Holy Spirit, meet with us as we dig into your word, I pray. Amen. Amen. So first thing I want us to see from Joseph and his story is this: obedience starts with character. If you look at the first bit between verses 18 and 20, we see this: because Joseph was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her, that's Mary, to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. And we can read that and be like, okay, that's fine. But I think this really shows the character of Joseph. It doesn't show just necessarily his obedience, but the character of the guy. Joseph's experience at this point, just imagine for a moment his experience at this point, he is in a dilemma. Right? He believes that at this moment in time, he believes that his wife has been cheating on him. And that would make a lot of sense. Right? He believes that she's probably been sleeping around, and as a result, he cannot follow through with this marriage anymore. He can't do that. And Mary, if he was to marry Mary, it would be like him saying, yeah, adultery is all good. I'm fine with that. And that's not what he wants to do. And so according to the law at the time, he had two options. Number one was he could divorce her publicly, which would bring shame upon her. It would possibly lead to her being stoned to death. Or option two is to do it privately. And if you thought that you've been made a mockery of, what would you choose? Well, if you were Joseph in that moment, what would you choose if you thought you'd been taken advantage of? And Joseph, what does he do? He chooses compassion, chooses to divorce her quietly, chooses compassion because his pursuit was guided by the values of the law. It was guided by compassion and mercy rather than this is what it says, this is the rules. What I want us to notice is before Joseph knows the whole story and he's given the angel's instructions, his character already leans towards faithfulness and towards mercy and towards righteousness and compassion rather than towards the rules. Obedience to God is not about following the rules, but growing and modeling the character of God in our lives. Joseph's character is what is the catalyst to his obedience, not the other way around. And so we see this in verse 25. In verse 25, when his sexual restraint is shown. In verse 25, he shows his character again afterwards. Joseph chose obedience over impulse because he followed God to continue to shape his character and to mold him. And so here's the application for us. Where is your character at? Where is your character right now? Are you in this habit of grumbling and complaining about life? Are you more concerned with appealing to people and appearing to people that you're all put together? You've got it all sorted than actually letting God completely reshape you with compassion and with empathy and with care for other people? I think there is something from Joseph's character that we can certainly apply to people who are married in the room. If you are married, how do you speak about your spouse, both when you are with them and when you are not? When you are in private and when you are in public? Do you find fault in them and do you ridicule them often? When you're with your friends, do you honor your spouse or do you just list their flaws and moan about them when you're with them? And this may seem really simple, but I think in a culture where mockery and complaining about your spouse is so often the case, right? And not just even in a marriage setting where we mock other people, or we complain about other people in our culture, I think honoring the character of someone else becomes exceedingly radical. And so just encourage you to step into that a little bit. Right? The point I'm making in all this is that character goes further than obedience will. Right? If we are not regularly in Scripture, if we're not regularly on our knees seeking God for the day, for our lives, if we are not looking for and looking at God's character, and if we're not letting him reshape us and sometimes gut punch us to change us into more like him, then we won't ever reach a point where we are fully and totally relying and loving Jesus completely and utterly. And our wholehearted obedience will always be secondary unless we are seeking God and seeking his character and wanting to be more like him. Philippians 2, work out your salvation. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God works at the level which forms a character in us that produces genuine obedience and genuine fruit. Obedience without character is completely wasted. And so there is a character to obedience, but there's also a challenge. There is a challenge that comes with obedience. I mentioned earlier that it seems that we often obey the rules of the law, the rules of the road, or whatever it is, if it suits us. The story in Matthew shows how obedience becomes hardest when God's will contradicts our desires, our expectation, and our comfort. Look with me at verse 19 and 20. It says this, but after he had considered this, so after he's considered, how shall I divorce her? Right, after he had considered, divorce is the only option here. What am I going to do about this? How am I going to do that? An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, showing the kingship of God in that, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Joseph's plan in his life was, I'm going for divorce. Right, that's where he's heading for, and God's plan is marriage. They don't align. They don't match up. Those two plans are not the same. And it's the same with us. Right? My plan is this. God's plan is that. When we give our lives to Jesus, it means there will come a challenge of obedience. They sometimes don't quite align. Our desires don't align sometimes with God's desires. And I don't think we can overstate the weight of the challenge that Joseph faced in this moment. Obedience for Joseph, it completely redirected the direction of his life. He's going for something else. So he planned to end the engagement quietly and just move on. Right, that was the direction of travel. And then God comes in and he said, you're going to take Mary as your wife. Turn the direction of travel completely the opposite. And so in that direction of travel, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to put up with the whispers and the assumptions of people, the sideways glances that people might have. Oh, that's Joseph, that is. Those moments, and he's stepping into a marriage where he is raising a child which is not his own, in theory. There's going to be so much misunderstanding if he goes in this direction. And for some, Joseph's challenge isn't theoretical. It's worth just addressing that in the room. It can, for some, this can feel really close to home. You know the sting of broken trust or relationship. You just know in your heart what those whispers feel like and how that is. And so following Jesus brings moments like that. Obedience often pulls us into places that we didn't expect. Places that reopen these old fears and these old wounds. Places that ask more of us than we feel that we can give. But here's this is the beauty of this story, right? Matthew doesn't leave Joseph when he's writing this. He's making it really clear. Joseph is not stuck in those places. He's not left to stew. He's not left to just struggle through on his own. Right in the middle, right at the center point of Joseph's confusion and this challenge of how am I supposed to obey what God called me to do, it says this: they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 23 shows that although obedience comes with this challenge, following Jesus comes with this challenge, life can come with its challenges, it is never lived alone. What fear, what reputation, what comfort holds you back? What is holding you? The encouragement of this passage for Joseph and us is Emmanuel, God with us. The Spirit invites Joseph and he invites you and I as well to trust God even in the worries. Even in the fears, even in the big, deep, painful, fear-opening moments of our lives. If you are someone so full of anxiety that you struggle to go into places with lots of people, same message is for you. This is what God says: I am with you, Emmanuel. If you are someone who is fearful of what's going to come this Christmas, fearful of, I think I'm going to be alone this Christmas. Or you're just like, I'm fearful of the family drama that's going to happen this Christmas. God says, I am with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Obedience is often challenging because it pushes us beyond ourselves. It pushes us beyond what we think we can do. It pushes us beyond our comfort. It pushes us beyond our fears and our old patterns of thinking. And so what challenge of obedience is God calling you into with this Christmas? Maybe it's something small. Maybe it's as simple as just following the rules of the law and driving a speed limit, all right? However, for others, it may be deeper than that. It may be stepping into conversations with family members and spouses which are just a little bit uncomfortable. Spaces that cause you anxiety, spaces of fear of being hurt. Is that where God is getting you to step in? And I just don't please don't mishear me. All right. What I'm not saying that obedience is about willpower. It's not about you need to go into those spaces and deal with it, but it does meet us, it does meet challenges head on with God who is for us and who is with us. And I'm not saying step into those spaces naively. Don't be silly. Don't be naive, but aware that God is with you, that he carries you, that he knows you. Whatever it is, God's promise is the same as it was to Joseph. Emmanuel, God with us. You don't face the challenge of anxiety, the fear of triggering alone, because his presence, it gives you courage. His presence can give you hope and strength and peace and joy to move beyond ourselves. Obedience, it does need a character. It does come with its challenges, but you don't do it alone. But it also produces action. There is action in obedience. Look at Joseph in verse 24 to verse 25. When Joseph woke up, so he was in a sleep and he was in a dream and he meets with God, meets with angelic beings in his dream. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate the marriage yet until she gave birth to the son. And he gave him the name Jesus. If I just a real fun moment. Look in your Bible, in Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. Every moment that you see Joseph, where is he talking? Where does he speak? Can you find a moment where Joseph is speaking? Has he got a speaking role? We often give him a speaking role in the Nativity. In the Bible, right, there is nowhere that Joseph says anything. Joseph doesn't speak. Doesn't say anything. All right, a fun fact for scholars, that one, isn't it? But he doesn't speak. He doesn't even say, when he wakes up, he doesn't say, I will do, even within the dream, he doesn't say, yep, I'm gonna do what you say, Mr. Angel. That's definitely what I'm gonna do. We don't even hear any of that. He doesn't acknowledge the angel, he doesn't speak. But how do we know he was obedient? How do we know that he was obedient? Not because of what he says, but because of what he does. We know his heart. We know his character. We know what he's doing because of his actions and not his words. We can all say the right things but do the opposite, can't we? We all say things to appease people or to impress people or to come across as knowledgeable or to come across as genuine, but with no action to back this up, that doesn't quite line up. Maybe you know people like this, maybe you are a person like that. We often think that being a follower of Jesus is about what we say to people. It's about what we know. I need to know all these things. Some of that's true. Be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Right? We need to know God, and we need to, and he says, be salt and light, speak truth and love. Like there is a speaking, there is something in what we say and what we know. But in the call of Jesus, it seems that action is quite important. You look at Luke 10, right? After the Good Samaritan story, the famous Good Samaritan story, what does Jesus tell the person who asked, the lawyer who asked the question? Jesus says, go and speak likewise, or go and know. No, go and do. Go and do likewise. Think about it this way. If I was to say to one of my children, go clean your room. I think I've used this analogy before, but I really like it. Go clean your room. And she comes down 20 minutes later, and she says to me all the right things. She says how she's going to move the lamp and dust things and put clothes away, all of those things. She says all the right things, and she tells me all the ways she's going to tidy up. She can give me even the right vibes that she's tidied up. But unless her room has been tidied, she has not cleaned her room. And often we're like that with God. Does anyone else, this is me, all right, does anyone else get really pumped after a great Sunday morning or after going to a commission festival or a camp out or wherever? You feel really pumped, you feel really energized, you really want to meet with God daily and you want to enjoy him, and then you get to Monday and you're just back to normal. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to ignore that sin, I'm going to ignore reading my Bible, I'm going to ignore praying, I'm going to ignore enjoying God. Anyone else like that? Please tell me you are. Right? Let's talk. How often do we say things like, oh, we really need to be vulnerable with one another. We really need to do life together so much more. How much do we say, oh, I'm going to get to that prayer meeting 6 o'clock tonight at the, I'm just going to promo that at the Beehive. So I'll get to that prayer meeting. I'm going to get to that life group meeting. I'm going to invite that friend to Alpha. I'm going to invite that friend to the carol service, and yet none of it happens. We're all like, I'm preaching to myself as much as to you, okay? We are all like that. Obedience produces action, not just saying all the right answers. Just a simple challenge for us this week, all right? Talk to someone this week about the carol service. Speak to them. Invite them. Say, would you like to come to my church's carol service? I don't know how many words that is. That's it. It's not like this big, massive thing. You've got just asking a question. Just asking, do you want to come? Do you want to come and feel Christmassy? Right, we got flyers on your seat. Take that home with you. Talk to your neighbor. Put it through your neighbor's letterbox. This is my call to us. Do a Joseph. Do a Joseph. Stop talking and begin with action. Stop saying, oh, I should read my Bible and actually read your Bible. Stop saying, oh, I should pray. Just pray. Stop saying, I really should talk to Barbara about Jesus. I've gone for a name I don't think is in the room. We need to do it. Please hear my heart. Just imagine what our families would be like, what our church would be like, what the workplaces we are in would be like if we spoke less and put our faith into action. How much more mercy there would be, how much more compassion there would be, how much more justice there would be. I think Hamilton was onto something when he said, talk less, smile more. Anyone got that reference, the Hamilton reference? Good. Obedience is challenging because it looks at our character and it pursues action. So it's worth asking, lastly, where is the source of this obedience? Right, the source of obedience when it comes to obeying the speed limit is for safety. Right, we need to keep people safe on the road. Obeying what the doctor has said is the source is because I want to have some good health. What's the source for Joseph? Right, we must be aware, Joseph is not the hero of this story. Joseph isn't who this story is about. His obedience is not the center point of this story. His character is not the foundation. This entire passage is about Jesus. Joseph obediently changes the direction of his life because a Savior is stepping into the world. Because Christ is stepping into humanity and he is changing the direction of humanity forevermore. Joseph's obedience is a response to the one who would be perfectly obedient in his place. Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane, take this cup from me, yet I'm still going to go all the way to the cross. I'm still going to go there. When obedience is hardest, when it doesn't suit us, it did not suit Jesus to die on a cross for us. Joseph's obedience is a response to the one who would be perfectly obedient in our place. The angel says, you shall call him Jesus. Why? Why is that his name? Because he will save his people from their sins. Every act of obedience God calls you into finds its power, finds its possibility, finds its source in response to Christ. It's in response to what Jesus has done. We can't. Do not mix up our obedience with Jesus' obedience. Don't cross-contaminate the two, okay? It's his obedience that reshapes our character. It's because that's the character of God. I want to be more like Jesus. It's his presence, Emmanuel, God with us, that fuels us to face the challenges that come. It's his spirit that turns a conviction within us into action. Paul's really clear in this. Titus 3, okay? In Titus 3, he says this. He just summarizes it so brilliantly. At one time, we too, you and I, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. That's what our disobedience to God makes us. It makes us stuck, enslaved, and lost. And then in verse 4, we have this real Christmassy moment in Paul's writing. He says, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit poured out generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What Gina brought earlier from Ezekiel 36, God's not asking you to do more. He's asking for a tender heart. Your heart of stone turning to a tender heart. It's him who's done the work. It's him who saved you. It's him who has restored you. When Jesus appeared, he saved us. When Jesus comes into the scene in Matthew, he's saving us. Not because we obeyed. Right? Not because we improved our character. Not because I invited someone to come to a carol service, but because of his great mercy. That's why. Mercy is the compassion of God and him not giving us what we deserve. We do not deserve Jesus to come into the world and to save us, and yet he did. Obedience is the fruit. It is fruit. It's beautiful, tasty, juicy apples and oranges. It's juicy fruit. Obedience is juicy fruit that is a heart captured by the mercy of God and its goodness to us. So just like Joseph's story, obedience starts with character, but only Jesus can give us a new heart. Obedience brings challenge, it does, but we can only get through the challenge because Christ says, Emmanuel, I'm God with you, I'm with you through all of this. And obedience, it does produce action, but only God can supply the power to keep going through his Holy Spirit, through just knowing him more and enjoying him more. And so I just want, if Steve and Kim want to come up, I just want to invite us to respond this morning. And the response is really quite simple. Come to Jesus. Come, he's the initiator. He's the starter of it all. And so I feel that there are some people in the room and you just like, I just need to reshape my character. I know that this isn't right in me. And I just want God to work in my life. And maybe for some of you, you need God to meet you in your challenge. I think that's a real prevalent one right now. I feel that God wants to really hone down on fear, anxiety, the idea of my reputation and trust issues, past betrayal. And I just feel that God wants to encourage you this morning that God is with you. Emmanuel, God with us. I just feel a real sense in God to push into that one. And I just feel that there are some people who you just need to move into action. You just need to just invite someone to come to the carol service. Repent. God, I'm sorry. I do love you. I'm sorry that I just keep falling back into this way of living and this sin in my life, and I just want to turn from it. Help me, God. And some that you just need to respond to Jesus. You just need to say, yeah, I just want salvation. I just need Jesus in my life for the first time. If that's you, let's pray together. But why don't we stand? And what we'll do is we're going to sing a bit of this song. Okay, we're just going to sing a bit of this song. And then once we've sung a little bit, I just want us to respond. I want to give an opportunity for people in the room to respond to what God's calling you into. So I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. Yeah, God, I just ask for you to move in us this morning. Why don't you just open your hands out to God? Just nothing uber spiritual. It's just this moment of saying, God, I want to be obedient. Help me. Holy Spirit, will you come and empower us right now to become disciples of Jesus even more, to follow you when it's hard, to follow you in the challenge. Speak to us, I pray. Encourage us, I pray. Help us to build on you more, I pray. Reveal your heart in to us. Help us to trust and follow you, I pray. Amen. Let's worship Jesus.